another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for October 16th, 2017 with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show, episode, 151.
You just said it, 151.
Oh, did I say that? 151. Does that feel weird to you? I mean, you've only been doing it with me for the last, what, 10?
Yeah, 10. Maybe more than that. It's only been 10.
But if we count all the old final scores, it's a hell of a run.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be more than 10, Scott. I mean, I'm looking back at 141 and I'm seeing me.
Oh, maybe it was more than 10. That happened fast, didn't it?
Maybe.
All right. Well, all I know is you know what it is? It is definitely our second live one, though.
That's true.
Yeah, always evolving, always changing. We're here
so
again.
So if I look like a butthole that's lagging, I'm a butthole that's lagging.
Yep.
If you like it, I am it.
You're a sagging, lagging butthole. Hey, chat room, what's going on? Nice to see you all there. Somebody said that you sound your age, but you look 32. I think you're supposed to take that as a compliment. Yeah.
It's true. I do sound like old man.
He's always had a older, deeper, mature voice since I've known him. So it's never seemed to have mattered. But as we grow old gracefully, we still like to play them their video games, don't we? They're still fun.
We are even more now than ever.
Yeah, I play more now than I ever did.
They're slowly ripped from our hands.
It's true. It's because our kids are growing up. It's more time. We can get in there and play. Oh, jeez Louise, what happened there? I dropped a speaker of some sort. It's fine. Everything's fine.
It sounded like your metal plate that you keep in there for eating.
Yeah, my metal plate. I have two metal plates, one for eating, one for inside my skull. So it's fine.
Kim brought me a sandwich. I'm going to eat it now on the show.
Actually, 2 weeks. Kim has been out of town for 2 weeks. Last week it was helping her sister out, and this week she's in Phoenix visiting her sister-in-law. No. And because of that, I've been kind of on my own. So, boy, oh, boy, I'll tell you what. This is a problem, especially when it comes to the video games and the food and the eating and the healthy living. It's not working out great. However, I have taken the time that I would normally have to. I don't know what all. Kim doesn't need me around. It's just I feel like, you know, I need to be around
for
more.
But sweet, sweet love making. Instead, you replaced it with this
old video games because I fired up Syndicate, Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Why?
Oh, what?
I know. Well, here's why. I owned it. I already played a ton of it. Never beat it. Came out in 2015. It's the last game they made before this new Origins one that comes out in a couple of weeks. Right. And I wanted just to get get a little taste of the Assassin's Creed before that hits. Because of the remainder of the October games, the two I'm interested in at this point are Origins and Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yes.
I've decided to, at least for now, I had to make a decision, Brian. Seriously, I had to make this decision. For now, I'm going to pass on for the Shadow of Mordor, Shadows of War, the Mordor sequel. I know. Because basically, I said to myself, "Well, I've got two major open world games coming. Which one am I most excited to play?" And the answer is, for good or for ill, and whether you disagree with me or not, it's Assassin's Creed Origins. There's something about this ancient Egyptian setting and just everything about it I'm stoked about. So I'm going to expend I'm going to expend my open world business there. Okay.
Right.
One day, maybe if, you know, the other one rolls around and I get it on the cheap or something, fine. But that's kind of where my head's at. And then the only other game I'm going to have time for, because I'm going to force it, will be Super Mario Odyssey. The bummer is both these games come out the exact same day. So there's that.
Oh. Well, you don't have to play them both the first day, do you? I mean, you can space it out.
I don't have to, but I want to. See?
But I wanna. Yeah. Hey, you say you fired up Syndicate. How'd you fire it up? PC? PS4?
PC.
How'd you?
PC. PC. Yeah. Okay. I got it on PC back when it launched, and it's really good. It's you know, the one before this. What was the one before that was such a stinker? French Revolution one.
Ooh, we should ask the chat room because they're really good at this.
Assassin's Creed.
We have a lag.
Erbigerp. Yeah, we have to wait a minute for them to hear us. What was that called? Assassin's Creed. I blocked it out of my head. Unity. There it is.
That's it.
Chat room. Thank you. Gow nuts. Gow nuts.
Go nuts, I think it is. Oh, there's the gow nuts.
Go nuts. anyway, but I just feel like I'm ready because I need me some of that. So I fired that up and I've been playing. I'm kind of later game in that and kind of forgot where I was. So I had to kind of get used to all my bearings and everything. Right. And I got reminded that, you know, when those guys are on point with Assassin's Creed, they really are on point. They really kill it. And that game's
what,
great.
What was the gimmick for that one? Is it was
Set mob. In the British Industrial Revolution sort of period. Lots of smoke and child labor and horses and carriages and stuff. Like very turn of the century stuff, pre-automobile. But kind of during the time of, who were the famous people they fiddle with in there? Like Dickens.
Right.
Charles Dickens is one of the people you talk to. And the other thing is you can swap back and forth between you and your sister and do different missions as each or both or whatever.
I hope somebody isolates that.
Yeah, let's get that out of context, everybody. So she has some story missions that are just hers. He has some that are just his. But for the most part, you can kind of just pick the one you're most comfortable with their style with or spec them the way you want to be. In a lot of ways, it was like their answer to... I don't know if you remember this, but around Unity, there's a huge controversy. Where's the female protagonist? How come it's just a dude? How come it's with all the wieners? Right? Remember that?
I remember that quite well.
So I feel like they swung real hard the other direction and said, hey, not only will you have man dude here, but also lady baby to walk around and do stuff with her. So it's really, it actually worked out really well, and I like the dynamic between the two, and the sibling thing's fun to sort of deal with, but... that's a good game. It's really good. Yeah. So I'm playing.
How was the writing in that? Was it good?
Yeah,
was
pretty good. I mean, you know, it's Assassin's Creed-y. It's like they take some liberties with history, but for the most part, like the area and the geography of it is all represented really well and accurately, and the graphics are super nice. I mean, this game's only a couple years old, but it's a worthy sequel, especially considering that Unity was such a bummer. Before Unity was Black Flag, and that game was great. So they kind of have an every other thing going. Mm-hmm. But then they stopped last year making a yearly game. And I see that as a good sign that of two things. One, they're taking their time with Origins, and that extra year means a lot for a big team like that. And secondly, it'll break the trend of every other year is better. And this year will just be good, you know. I mean, this is all hoping against hope. I hope it's not poo. But I'm really excited about it. So there's that.
I have this somewhere as well, and I never got around. It was one of those games that I got, and I never had a chance to play. Mm. And it's always been on my list. And I'm looking now on Steam, and it's still like hovering around $40. But you can get season passes and get the Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole DLC thing and stuff. Yeah. The game is, I guess it would be the Jack the Ripper era, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah, it would have been. It's $40. I mean, it was $59 when it launched, so it's still cheaper than it was when it launched, but it's also still the most recent Assassin's Creed game, so I'm not surprised it's still up there in cost. Right. You can get it cheap on sales once in a while. They had a big Ubisoft sale recently, and that was there. I can't stand Uplay as a stupid launcher thing. But it's not really a problem here. I get it on Steam, and it just runs. It's not. I mean, I don't really have to mess with Uplay.
Yeah, it runs in the back, and it has a couple little neat features. I mean, I've gotten some really cool wallpapers out of there, right?
Yeah, but I don't need it. There's no need. You know, I understand why they want to have it. I'm just saying I don't freaking need it. But there it is. It's good, still playable, and worth it if you're trying to get excited about the new one. You want to get a little taste of that gameplay. It's right there. Mm. Then. This is evil what has happened here. Stardew Valley, the big PC hit, you know?
Right.
Did you play that at all when it was on?
I have it. It's on my list to get, but I have not played it yet. I see it pop up everywhere. But I think my comment was, what, Farmville?
Kind of, but not really. It's more like Harvest Moon meets Animal Crossing, kind of. It's very much, it's a lot of sort of, I'm building crops and doing this stuff, but it's also got this big adventure-y thing going on where you're walking around town, you talk to a dude, he teaches you how to fish, and now one of these fish had a secret thing in it. What does that mean? Oh, I don't know, there might be aliens under the tunnels, and guess what, there's caves here, go in the caves, get a sword, like there's a lot going on in it.
Now you made me want to play because that sounds nothing like Farmville.
It's not like Farmville, the Farmville, you farm and you earn money. And that might be some of the tasking you do, and you improve what you farm, and you're get more, you level up that farming so you get better and better tools and crafting and everything to have better farms. You get sprinkler systems so you don't have to walk around and water everything every day. A lot of automation comes later, so you can kind of earn your way out of it being very tedious. But that's kind of the weird just surface of, like, here's how I'm going to make my money. Here's how I can afford to do the things I want to do and buy and upgrade and craft and everything. And then later in the game, there's all sorts of weird stuff. You got to kill slime monsters in a freaking dungeon. So I
got to get back to that. You said you can gut a fish and find info about an alien.
Things like that have happened. Like, it's not exactly that, but like I was fishing once and I caught a fish and a treasure chest at the same time.
Happens. So
out came the fish, which was only reason I was fishing. I was trying to get a specific fish for a quest. Some guy wanted me to bring him a special fish. The mayor of the town wanted a special fish. Please bring me a fish. What kind?
Right.
Special fish.
A special fish. Actually, I want him to be a tasty fish.
I think it was called a sunfish, I think. Anyway, he wanted the Peter or whatever the mayor's name is. He wanted the fish. So there's lots of relationship-y stuff, which reminds me of, it's like Harvest Moon, but it's a lot like Animal Crossing, where you're trying to, you know, gift people. And if you get a relationship with one of the girls or whatever, you can eventually get married, and then there's benefits to that. Not the ones you're thinking.
Tell me the benefits to getting married, Scott. I need to.
Well, you know,
tell me the story.
So much better farming after that. But no, you do all this stuff, and it's weird. It's always been weird. I played it on PC, and it consumed me for a while there. But then I realized it's not really my kind of game on a PC, because PCs are where I go, all right, I'm going to sit down here for 2 hours and raid, or I'm going to sit down here and do this thing. It's not a very as casual friendly a format as it turns out the Switch is. Well, good news, everyone. Stardew Valley is now on the Switch. It's only $15. It's stupid cheap, so I bought it. It's an abomination of addiction. It really shouldn't exist, because you can't stop. You'll go to sleep and think, well, I got to get up tomorrow and play. And I mean, in the game, like your character, when you end the day, you sleep and that saves everything. You cash in your money for the day and then you wake up and you're saved and you go out and do more stuff. And I'm like, I got to go out. I got to go see if my potatoes are ready, because if they are, that's bank. I'm going to make $3,000. And that means a better fishing pole that can have bait on it, so I can have faster fishing. And then I'm going to do that. And then I'm like, okay, this is the last thing I'm going to do. Closing up shop. Okay, everything's done. It's night. Good night. Oh, wait. But if I get up, then I can go talk to the mayor and give him his fish. And then he'll give me 300 gold, which will put me over the edge on the other thing I want to. Like, it's that. It's that game. And it's
that,
just.
That micro progression that's so addicting. It's like just one more potato.
Yeah. One guy made this game, which is still very impressive to me. Now, I don't know about this port. Maybe it was more people. But the original game came out last year, was such a huge hit, is just a dude. He did the art, the sound, the programming, the systems, the everything. And it's very impressive.
Now, when you say he did the sound, I so want to believe that he did all of it with his mouth.
Like, you know, I'll fully work in the microphone. Just lots of sounds. Yeah. Actually, some of that stuff may be
potato,
true.
Potato. It kind of pops up the potatoes. Is that?
No one says potato. In fact, there's no that I know of. I don't think there's any spoken dialogue, but there are grunts and like somebody will go brr, or you know, things like that. So maybe that's him. But it's a pretty impressive feat and deserves a lot of success. And the Switch is just such a perfect platform for it. I love it on there.
I just don't understand why it's not for my phone. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it could be a good mobile game. I think they'd have to work on some of the way that thing controls. It'd be a pretty big retrofit for making that work, but not impossible. And certainly phones and tablets use controllers now a lot. Little Wi-Fi.
Can you make babies?
Yeah.
Is that a feature?
Oh, yeah. You can have kids.
Okay.
Totally. I don't know. I've never gotten that far because I kind of quit the PC version before I got far enough to have kids or children. But my goal is...
You're still trying to figure it out in real life. How did that happen? I don't know.
Yeah. You also do... I think you literally get like financial benefits. I don't know if like the chat suggests tax deductions. I don't think it's that specifically, because I don't think I'm being taxed in the game. At least not yet. But and there's also a lot of intrigue, like a big Walmart kind of company has moved into town and is trying to screw all the little mom and pop shops. So I was in this one buying some bait one day or some seeds or something. And it's just a nice little store, local, you know, it's a little village you live in, basically. And the dude behind the counter has helped me out. And all of a sudden, this blustery suit wearing guy comes in and goes, 10% off or 25% off everything over at Huge Monkey Mart, whatever the name of the thing is. You'll never pay these prices again. Everyone walked up to him, got coupons and left this guy's store. And now he's all distraught and upset. So I have a feeling that at some point in the story part of this, I'm going to bail him out or figure out a way to make him profitable again or something. In the meantime, I'm still paying too much for his seeds because for me to be a member of this big Walmart thing, I got to pay a membership fee of like $5,000. I don't have that kind of cash right now. So right now I'm just like cropping. And well, here's the other thing. Here's my only thing I don't like about the game. My one thing. Well, it's kind of two things because they're tied together. Every day is timed. So you get up at like 6 a.m. and the day starts and it jumps like 10 minutes every few real seconds. I don't know what it is, but you know, like it's a sped up day clock. Stores don't open till 9. So you got to keep yourself busy from 6 to 9. And that might be fishing a little, chop down some trees, get some stone broken up, build a couple of fences, whatever. And they're like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. I got to get to town. You get to town, you go buy your stuff, talk to people, whatever. You're like, well, I need to see the mayor. Well, he's not home because it's the middle of the day, so I got to wait till night for him. So what am I going to do now? You got to think of these other things to do. And there's always something to do, but you have this clock ticking all the time. Now, the downside of that is sometimes you don't feel like you had enough time in the day to get done what you had to. So it's just gone. Sometimes it takes forever to get to a time you need to get to so you can catch a guy right at 5 at a place or something. So that's kind of annoying on the clock. And then the third thing is it's all season. So right now I'm in the spring season of the year.
Right.
The minute it becomes the summer season, and it doesn't matter if it's just the first day of summer, any springtime crops I had growing the night before are decimated. Mm-hmm. And now I can only do summer crops. So you're supposed to be able to time that and go, all right, well, I can't be, you know, making cauliflower right up to the summer here or else they're all, you know, it's going to go bad and I'm going to lose all that investment and all that money on those crops. And by crops, I mean, like right now I got like 12 plots. It's like no big deal, but later in the game, you could really go nuts with that and have lots of rows and sprinkling systems all hooked up and all that. In the end, it's just got this great kind of hook to it and loop to it, and it's real hard to stop. So I think it's the perfect platform for it. It's also better suited for controllers now than it was on the PC. It was okay there, but not great. And I love it. So $15 to spend it.
I like it, but it sounds a little bit like work.
It is a little like work, yeah.
You sound like you took the worst parts of life, like waiting until 9 for the store to open and applied it to the game.
Well, Animal Crossing did this too, but not as egregiously. Like this game does seem to want to remind you that, oh, and you only have so much energy during the day. So like if I spend the whole day chopping trees down, I'm going to go to bed at like 10 a.m. because I'm going to be out of energy. Now I can eat some of my own food. But don't get high on your own supply. You need the money, man.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want to go. You don't want to go pillage the cauliflower fields for Pete's sakes.
No, you don't. No. But those replenish energy as well as health if you get hurt in the caves or something. And the other place you can really get hurt is when you're fighting these weird slime monsters in the cave. In this run through, I'm not even that far yet. I haven't gotten to the cave. I haven't done a lot of things I did in the old one. But it's still got a really. It's hard to explain why this game is good, and it's obviously popular. Everyone loves it, so it's something they're doing something right. And when I say they, I mean this one guy did something right and made a hell of a game. So there's that. And also I spent a ton of gold in World of Warcraft, and I just wanted to point out that since the Mists of Pandaria expansion back in, geez, what was that, 2013, 2012?
It's been a while. Yeah,
I can't remember. 2013, I think. They introduced a mount in that game that was 120,000 gold. Or 100,000 if you got rep with the right faction, you could get a little less. But still, 100,000 gold for a mount that is a repair mount and a transmogrification mount all built together. So if I wanted to change my clothes and look cool, I can use it instead of having to go to some city and find the transmog guy. Mm-hmm. Or if I want to repair myself or sell crap I have on me that I don't need, there's a dude sitting on the other side of this yak. And you can sell stuff to him. And it's the same as if you talk to a vendor in a city. So the idea is that you kind of have a portable city or at least two major services of a city with you all the time. And you just mount up and you use them and you're good. I always avoided it because 160,000 gold is a lot, or 120 is a lot of freaking gold. It's tons of gold.
And this is a lot of gold. But not for you.
Well,
you're gold
me.
Rich.
I know. I have what did I? I went in there yesterday with 350,000 gold. That's not a lot. I have friends with like millions. So I'm not a rich guy in World of Warcraft.
I have friends with millions.
But I've gone this long without it, thinking I'm never going to spend that. I'm never going to spend that. And then yesterday, a bunch of peer pressure weasel friends of mine
with millions
said, "Get in the portal. Let's go. We're going to go buy you a yak." I'm like, "Damn it!" So we went to Pandaria, bought a yak, and now I have a yak and a little bit of buyer's remorse.
A lot of buyer's remorse.
It's still good, though. What it does for me is good. I mean, the funny thing is the reason you buy it is you kind of pour money into it. The only thing it makes money on is if you sell stuff to it because you're selling junk items or whatever. But what you're mostly doing is paying for repairs on yourself because you got hurt during a fight or whatever, or during raid. And then, so there's a money dump there. And then the other money dump is it costs you money to do these transmog sets, like to change the look of your sword or your helmet or your shoulders or whatever, to match some other piece or create a set or whatever. That you're sinking money into that every time. So by the end of, you know, pulling the yak out, not only did I spend 120,000 gold on it, I just keep pumping gold into it. Just here you go, here's some more gold. And it's amount, so it makes me, you know, it's transportation, but whatever.
Man, this sounds just like a car. It's just like buyer's remorse when you get a car. It's a little bit. Like you keep pumping gold into it.
Do you ever get a car you totally regretted getting? Like what would?
Absolutely. Every car, every car that I've gotten that had a car payment attached to it, immediate regret.
Yeah, I can't deny that too. I hate that. I hate cars. If I could pay cash for cars, I would.
Oh, absolutely.
But I am. I'm not only gold poor, and I'm cash poor, so I can't do either one of those things. Mm-hmm. However, someone did point out to me last night. It may have been Randy. I can't remember who said it, but they said it. Don't forget that, I don't remember who said it, but they said that a WoW token, which is like a monthly, you know, you can use WoW tokens to pay for your monthly thing.
Right.
They're
right,
going
right.
for about $20 in real money. It's like a stock market that goes up and down. So really what I did is I paid about $20 for this mount. If you want to look at it in real dollars, real money.
Right. But hey, as committed as you are, $20 for a mount, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's not real money anyway. It's just time and effort and many years of collecting gold. So anyway, that's me. That's where I'm at. Brian, what'd you do?
Scott, how much you got left in your purse now?
Oh, I still have like 200,000 gold. So that's
fine. Oh, shut up.
Yeah,
all
but
right,
it's not,
fine.
It's not, I mean, but that's the problem is they're going to like come out with the next expansion and go, check it out. You can have this one time deal on a giant monkey that climbs mountains or whatever, and it's going to cost you 200,000 gold, and I'll just spend all my money.
You wouldn't have bought it anyway. Who are you kidding?
That's true.
Oh, but right. But this week, I promised you to. I promised I would play some Star Fox 2 on my Super Nintendo Classic Edition. Mm. And so I got on there. I sit down to play my Star Fox 2, and I discovered something that it doesn't say on the box. It says, "Oh, here's the game, but you can't play it until you beat the first level of Star Fox 1."
What? For real?
For real.
Why are they doing that? I didn't know that was gated behind that. That's stupid.
It is stupid because I suck at Star Fox 1. I don't guess I'm going to be any better at the second, so I don't know why I'm mad. But I just wanted to, you know, start it up and play it for a minute. And it's got a little present box on the icon. I'm like, oh, well, it must be really – it's going to click on something. It's going to be fun. And no, it said, oh, no, you got to go back and play Star Fox 1. And beat the first level and get through. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be easy. So, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm still, you know, clicking screens and trying to get through level one. And then at 45 minutes, I quit. I just said, forget it. Mm. I suck.
Do you have any interest in the chat room's even talking about it. Do you have any interest in doing the hack that's really like 5-minute hack now that's out that lets you put other games on there, basically turn it into a...
It's good that you bring that up because actually we talked about this last week. I said I don't want to hack it because I don't see the benefit. I'm starting to see the benefit between that and also I was going to record my gameplay of Star Fox 2, and you know, a lot of these consoles come with you know, an encryption across the HDMI, but I don't see any way to turn it off in the Super Nintendo Classic Edition. So my Elgato HD 60, it starts when it's trying to do the HDMI pass through, it starts flicking on my screen, and that's a pain. So I'm considering it now.
I assume that hack eliminates that, but I don't know. I mean, my PlayStation 4, you got to go in there and do a setting to do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And which isn't too bad. At least there's a setting. I looked all through the settings for the Classic and I didn't see anything. And I don't see where anybody's really talking about how to capture using the Elgato, but I need to take a deeper dive, I suppose. But yeah. So that's my story for Star Fox 2. One more week, people. One more week after I finish level one of Star Fox. That really makes me sad.
Did I ever tell you about the time I went like 2-3 weeks trying to get my Elgato 60 to work and struggling and fighting, and at the end of it all, guess what it turned out to be?
I know exactly what it was because I did the exact same thing. I can almost guarantee it.
All right, guess. What do you think? What happened?
I think you plugged the HDMI cables into the wrong direction.
That's exactly what I did. I didn't know. It doesn't say. It's not clear. They don't have. It's not clear. It's not obvious. And so it just never occurred to me that I was doing that part wrong. And I had them in the wrong hole.
I was in there for at least a good 20 minutes the first night I had it, and I was like, what am I doing wrong? I started downloading drivers, and I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. Something's not right.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I said, I wonder if I just switch these HDMI in a different direction, and bingo.
Yeah.
Did it.
It's rough business. Well, all right. So you did that. Anything else tickle your chode? Well,
absolutely tickling my chode this week. I picked up my cellular phone and Android, and I downloaded the Stranger Things the game because it is October and Stranger Things is coming to Netflix season 2 just in about a week, right? Isn't that right?
Same day as Mario, same day as Origins.
Yeah.
That's a big day.
Oh, it's going to be tough. Yeah. So, yeah, this little, have you picked it up for the iOS, Stranger Things?
I have not. Oh, yeah, no, I did too. I played this. What am I saying? Of course, the 8-bit looking thing, you start out as the adventure sheriff. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Adventure puzzler, you get to play as the Cap. As you start out, you get to play as Jim Happa.
Mm-hmm.
And you run around and you, right? You're trying to flip switches and investigate is what you're doing. You're investigating.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all the way to, I leveled up and I got to the next character and, I got to Lucas. I think it was Lucas.
He's the kid that gets lost in the beginning, right?
Oh, is that Lucas?
I thought Lucas is the little brother that got lost.
You might be right.
There's a lot of it-isms in that show.
Right. No, Lucas is the little kid with the slingshot. He's the one that's always mad. He's like, get out of here. He's the mad kid. Okay. He's always angry.
All right. I like the piss kid. Okay. I know which one.
Yeah, I like the piss kid too.
I guess so, I didn't get that far. I only played the dude that's the new Hellboy. That's it.
Right. Okay. So, but yeah, once you get to Lucas, it gets cool because then you start picking up rocks and you're using to reach things you can't reach.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a really exciting adventure game? No, but since I'm really deep into the storyline, I'm having a lot of fun with the game. Oh, but let me tell you some of the things that's what's new, because I didn't get as far as I want to get, apparently, because according to what's new, if you were stuck in the sewers, we've turned off the toilet flush. We've added an exit button on the maps that didn't have it. So if you were stuck down there and the toilet flushes were going on, you're going to get out of there. Also, the janitor found and returned the missing AV cart in the school. I think I'm getting punked. In the what's new.
You must be. And it plays, by the way, for those wondering what's the genre here, it plays like a Zelda game, kind of. You know?
Yeah.
You go like into a dungeon, quote-unquote, but it's like the school, and there's puzzles in there to solve so you can get to the chest and then get the thing that's in the chest, and then the thing in the chest will help you do things you couldn't do before. Like, it's very Zelda, Legend of Zelda-ish.
My favorite is I haven't gotten to it yet, but I would love to do, once I get to the Nancy character, she has a whole set of bats.
Mm-hmm.
Bats to swing, so I'm down with that. Also, you can collect Eggos and gnomes,
which is good. Love those because they have references, and that speaks to what Tom Dragosa in the chat room is saying. He's saying, I kind of recommend watching the series before playing the Stranger Things game. You'll enjoy it more, I think. And I think he's right. There's references and things in there that will only make sense if you've seen the show.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't seen the show, then what are you doing? What are you doing?
Because you're going to miss it. It's coming soon. It's like season. What's it like? 10 episodes per season.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Get in there. Binge that SOB so that when this new one comes out and before these kids all hit puberty, you got to hurry up. And because that's coming. They were real quick about how quick that sequel started.
Oh,
sequel series.
Heck yeah.
They got right on it because I've seen some of those kids in the last couple of weeks or so, on talk shows and things.
Yeah.
Oh, we're done. Good. We're out of the kid time. Y'all have got some voice changing going on, and you don't look the same, and a couple of you are looking real weird. That's just part of life. But you got to hurry because if you're making this story, you can't be jumping around like that. You got to look the same. So anyway, the one kid, the main kid, is it Mike?
Mike, yes.
He looks like a bird. Just putting that out there.
Okay, he's a bird.
He looks like a bird.
Yeah. I can see
not
that.
Not in the game. I mean, in real life.
Right.
He looks like a bird.
He's kind of got like I guess so, because he's got that feathered kind of hair going on.
Yeah, plus he's just got a long pointy nose and looks like he could pick up a worm with it if he needed to. And
right. He's got a beak.
Yeah. I mean, he was in It, and he swore a lot in It. That was his job on that show, in that movie, was to swear a lot. I wonder if his mom cares, you know? He's like 11. Mm-hmm. She's over there hearing him drop F-bombs like it's nobody's business.
Right. Well, he is from Canada, so.
That's true. Those Canadians, they don't give a shit.
No.
In Canada. What's going on?
You don't have to
mark
anything explicit in Canada.
So true. All right, we're going to dive into some of the news of the week. Xbox One is getting a major update today. This includes the faster dashboard and a few other things to the dashboard that are supposed to address some issues. Although, word on the street from friends of mine who use Xbox One exclusively, they are not exactly thrilled with the changes. They say it either doesn't go far enough or introduces other issues they don't like about it. So the long storied, I think.
Are these the same friends who are saying bring back the Blades?
Probably. I mean, they all think the Blades was the best it ever got. And then everything since then has been poop. I think the PlayStation 4 stuff's fine. It's not anything I'd write home about, but it's fine.
Yeah. The thing I don't like about the PlayStation 4 is the migrating icons. They just slowly, it's like, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't played that, and you've chosen to play like 3 or 4 games this week. Oh, your TV stuff is down there now. Good luck.
Yeah, have fun, everyone. But anyway, they are moving the guide so it's ordered horizontally. You can switch between different sections using the Xbox controllers, thumbsticks, jump pad or bumper pads, all that stuff. Gone is the weird Kinect 2 voice control because. Right. That was dumb and lame. Sign-in achievements, parties, LFG friends, all that stuff is all in this thing called the Action Center. It's a new Action Center.
Action Center.
Works very similar how it has in the past, but it's much quicker.
Center.
Apparently, everything's just peppier, which is, I think that is good.
That's what they were going for, I think.
Yeah, it was a little sluggish before. Anyway, a lot of the new updates designed to make keep pushing further into menus to do things. And some will find that irritating at first. But speed improvements will make that stuff worth it, they say. Do they even care about the Snap 2? Remember the Snap 2 business? Like, here's a little Skype window right up next to your dealio, and here's a video. Like, is that a thing anymore? Do we care about that?
I don't know, but don't do that.
Yeah, why were you doing that anyway? That was always... Don Matrick, or whatever his name was, the guy in charge right before he left at the launch of this thing. It's a bad idea, is that guy. It's bad ideas.
He did some things.
It didn't help him. It didn't help him in the beginning, and it's hurt them in the long haul. I think things are pretty good for him right now in terms of the value you're getting for buying an Xbox One. But
right,
it put them in a weird second place position they didn't need to be in. They should have kept their lead from last generation. It's really weird.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know what. Yeah. They're getting there though, right? They're pulling it back around.
Eventually, we'll get there. IGN has acquired Humble Bundle. You know the Humble Bundle, the charity supporting digital distribution service and game publisher. They've been acquired by gaming entertainment outlet and media giant, at least on the internet, IGN.
No!
Yep. Financial terms of the deal were not disclosed, so we don't know what was paid or who got what or how much money this cost or anything. But
here's a dollar. I wonder if they stuck with the old pay what you want deal.
They did. Apparently they say none of this is going to change. So it'd be like, you know, Amazon buying Twitch. There's not like a discernible...
I'm asking if IGN like said, we'll give you $5.
Oh, I see. Pay what you want for the Humble Bundle company.
Right. I could be down with that.
That's pretty good. I doubt it. I doubt it. Oh. Unless it was in the millions, I guess, but.
Right.
Anyway, they say, we can't think of a better partner than IGN to help Humble Bundle continue to grow and be our part of our quest, says Rosen and fellow co-founder John Graham, who started the company back in 2010. Here's what was on the first Humble Bundle. Okay, you ready for this?
What was it? Yes.
It was a pay-for-what-you-want package, mostly tied to charity, for Aquaria, Gish.
All right.
I don't know what Gish was, except I know that's an album by, what was the name of the Siamese Dream guys? Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, they had their debut album was called Gish. Anyway, Liguro HD, Penumbra Overture, Samaros 2. I played the third one of that. World of Goo.
I must have bought this one.
Probably did. It was a big deal at the time.
It was.
It was like everybody was freaking out. Oh my gosh, look at this new idea. And it has evolved into much more than that. While game bundles have remained the company's bread and butter, Humble Bundle has since started expanding its operations to include a digital storefront, the monthly subscription service, and a game publishing business. Mm-hmm. And they said today that from its inception, the company has raised more than $106 million for charity over 10 million customers.
Crazy.
It's pretty good. There's one update to this. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Somebody talked to a representative of IGN, because now look at it this way. If that is a company that now makes or publishes games,
right,
and is selling games, so they have a vested interest in succeeding and not, you know, having a game tank, right? A game can't suck. IGN is in the business of reviewing these products. So you'd say, oh, conflict of interest. This is big trouble, everybody, right?
Big trouble, baby.
You might say that. Well, here's what they said in response. Looks like somebody reached out to him. They said, editorial integrity is something we take very seriously at IGN, and I'm confident that we will strike the right balance when it comes to our coverage of Humble Bundle and the games they sell. Our readers and customers have always come first, and that won't change. Yeah, but still, it's a little fruity. It's a little fruity.
But we do it all the time, right? So, I mean, all they'll do is, before they review it, they'll say, oh, about to review a game. By the way, IGN is the parent company of Humble Bundle.
Yep. They're going to have to do that every time, aren't they?
So it'll be all right.
And what if they give it a F or something, and then they, or whatever their scoring is over there, I don't know.
I think that's fine.
Is it numbers? Yeah, it's like a percentage.
Right.
It's fine if they do it, but there's always going to be this question. That's the whole point of avoiding conflicts of interest. That people don't know, you know, because then you always wonder, are they being fair? Are they overdoing it? Are they underdoing it? Like, you never know.
Right.
And we now live in a time, man, where nobody knows jack shite about what's happening at any given time.
Nothing.
This ain't going to help your Humble Hoobus or your Bundle. All right, what else? PlayStation VR dropped to $225. That is without the PlayStation camera. Yeah, you can't get the camera with that. I know. Bummer. Still, it's cheaper. It was like, what, $399 when that launched or something?
Yeah, and it's been, I think, hovering around $300 lately. So.
Yeah, $299, something like that.
Yeah.
This is a limited time deal. It is, let's see, Target selling it. Looks like PSVR headset down from $300 to $225. That's before tax. That's as cheap as you can expect to find it probably throughout this holiday season. It's that cartwheel coupon deal they do there. They're only available in store, so you can't do it online, which is kind of a bummer. But you can check the website for availability. So if you're trying to just see if it's there, you can do that. Let's see. If you don't have the camera, you can pick it up for about $45 at Target or Amazon. That brings the combined price down to $270 total, which is still a pretty good far cry from the $400 official bundle.
Right.
And even less than the $300 deal Sony offered. So,
this is tempting. Too bad. I am just right now. I'm needing the PlayStation 4 Pro or the Xbox One X so I can get the 4K.
You want that, do you?
I do want that, but I can't convince myself to do that and get the VR. I mean, am I made of money?
Do you have the see, this is my conundrum. I don't want to buy any new hardware this year. I want to buy cool software. That's it.
Right.
So my money's going to go to Mario and Origins and whatever else comes out at the end of this year.
It's going to be a tough choice this year. Yeah. Tough choices.
My big games literally come out next week. For the whole rest of the year, they're the only ones I really care that much about. Unless there's one I'm forgetting. I don't think I am, though. I mean, I'm not that excited about new Call of Duties. I'm not very excited about that.
Right.
But I'm very excited about Mario and Origins and nothing else. So I think I'm good.
Well, I mean, anybody that goes spend the kind of gold you did on a yak.
It's a nice yak, though. It has an umbrella and some cool, like, Asian influences.
It's got an umbrella.
Yeah. Keeps you out of the sun.
Oh.
Yeah. You like that? You like that a little bit? right. EA has responded to the Battlefront 2 loot box concern. So loot box, I mean, all loot box talk for the last week or two. It seems like this is all anyone wants to talk about.
Loot boxes. Is it gambling? I don't know. Yeah. What is it?
And there are players getting sick of it and feel like they're getting nickel and dimed, and, you know, our companies overstepping their reach with it and doing too many things that affect gameplay and not enough cosmetic and blah, 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 right? And it ranges across the board from implemented pretty well in games like Overwatch and maybe not so much in Battlefront, possibly. But EA has responded to that, okay? Oh, actually, the biggest, most controversial one, I think, is Shadow of War, because that thing's got, like, major in-game items that you otherwise would have to grind out, but now you can just spend money on boxes and get them that way. So that's pretty lame.
It is.
I like cosmetics. That's the way I would do this. But anyway, EA has responded to this whole concern. The beta is over, because that's the public beta came, and that's when everyone got a little nervous. They said, rest assured, we are continuing to listen to you coming out of the beta. The developers wrote on the game's website. Can't read. We're taking a look at some of the most discussed topics, from crates to progression to strike mode, blah, blah, blah. Says in the post, DICE and EA specifically addressed concerns about the crates and progression, saying the complete system was not in the beta and will continue to be tuned over time. Here is what is currently in there. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Do it. Give me the crates. Crates
include a mix of star cards, outfits, emotes, and victory poses.
Emotes,
outfits, victory poses, and emotes.
Doesn't that sound like
that's
other
Overwatch?
Game?
That's Overwatch.
It is
for sure. Star cards, maybe not as much. Players earn crates by completing challenges and other gameplay milestones, or by purchasing them with in-game credits or crystals, our premium currency, which you also
are those Jedi crystals?
You
what is it?
Always. Are you kidding? Everything's a Jedi crystal if you think about it. But that's the idea is that you would grind that. It's Overwatch, that part. You just grind it out, or you pay real money to get those things early. And again,
I'm cool with that.
It's fine. I mean, again, they're not doing anything here that breaks gameplay, in my opinion. Not yet.
Well, I mean, they did say rest assured, so I'm comfy.
It does say, are you assured as you rest right now?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I'm totally... Well, wow, that was close.
It says if you get a duplicate star card in the crate, you will get crafting parts that you can then use to upgrade the star card of your choice. I guess I should learn more about how these star cards work, but whatever. It says you have to earn the right to be able to upgrade star cards and unlock most weapons. You can only upgrade or unlock if you have reached a high enough rank, which is determined by playing the game. So they're trying to say to people, yo, this is mostly... almost entirely progression based in the game. These boxes are all cosmetic for the most part. The only weird part is these cards, and even those are blocked or gated by how much you've played the game. So,
and then you have to earn it.
What was his name? His name was John Houseman.
John Houseman.
Yeah. Why is it I can remember that, but I couldn't think of the Smashing Pumpkins 10 minutes ago? What the hell's wrong with me? It wasn't even in my generation, that guy. It was like my dad's
He was, because his commercials were our generation, though. I mean, right?
When we were growing up, yeah. Commercials? Yeah, but they weren't aimed at us. They were aimed at, like, aging baby boomers or whoever. I don't know who they were for. They weren't us.
Right. Or, because they earn it.
Yeah. I mean, G.I. Joe was telling us what was up. That's who John Houseman was.
He was telling us about the apple seeds. Yeah, and killing the blobs. Yeah.
That's exactly right. I remember that. It's like yesterday.
We never get to this song.
No, this one we never get to. That's because we got more news today. Top PlayStation studio Naughty Dog has responded to allegations of sexual harassment. This is all the talk lately with the whole Harvey Weinstein business, and therefore it's sort of spreading out from there. But Naughty Dog, the developer of The Last of Us and the Uncharted franchises, a big Sony studio, has acknowledged, while disputing, allegations of sexual harassment made by a designer this weekend on social media. So somebody has alleged it. They are acknowledging the alleging, but not that it happened. David Ballard, a designer, no longer with the studio. He said in a series of tweets on Saturday that he was terminated in February 2016 after informing the studio and other HR departments of its parent, Sony Interactive, of these allegations. He said he was offered $20,000 in severance pay on the condition that he remained silent about his time at the studio. Ballard says he refused. Now, Naughty Dog, in a statement published on the site yesterday, said, "We have not found any evidence of having received allegations from Mr. Ballard that he was harassed in any way at Naughty Dog or Sony Interactive Entertainment. Kind of your standard legal answer. Right. We'll see. But if this turns out to be true, I'm going to be super bummed out because I really like Naughty Dog and I like their games. But once again, it just shows you it doesn't matter where you work or what you're doing. Like today's International Boss Day.
Right.
All I read online are people going, yeah, let me tell you about the boss that tried to hit on me at a party one night too late. Or let me tell you about the boss who drilled a hole in my office and stared at me one time while I was changing or whatever. Like, bosses are dicks.
It's hard for old white guys to understand any type of boundaries as far as it goes to someone encroaching on their own body. It's like,
sure, seems like it, doesn't
if you
it?
Want, if, yeah. Look, I go to the gym, and when I go to the gym in the locker room, I'm naked most days anyway. Look if you want to, if that thrills you. So we're on a totally different wavelength there for some reason.
I guess so. I don't know. All I know
I'm
is...
I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm just saying that's been my experience at the gym.
That's a bad place, though, to have any comparison of anything. Because people are dragging their doodles on the ground. It's awful in there.
Yeah, yeah. I feel sexually harassed.
I feel it right now, just you telling me about it.
Right.
Anyway, there's that. We'll report on more what happens, but I hope that's not the beginning of some big, oh, turns out the game industry is a little bit like Hollywood and they've got a lot of secrets too. And power is a corrupting force and blah, 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 blah. We're going to hear about it if it does. All right. One final story. Amazon has dispatched Super NES Classic Editions to US pre-orders without AC adapters.
What?
Yeah, it feels
first
like this
of
is
all, who wrote this article is we don't dispatch stuff in the U.S., do we?
No, we ship it.
Ship it.
Yeah, ship it. It seems like this is NintendoSoup.com. I don't know who your headline writer is, but come on. Let's get on that. Recently, Amazon fulfilled several of these pre-orders. You got yours.
I did.
You got a power in there.
Yeah, I got a power brick with mine, but you know what? I almost thought I made a mistake earlier to I guess it was this morning or maybe it was yesterday. Anyway, yeah, I went to go plug in my my console and I plugged it in with just a micro SD micro USB cable that had sitting there, and I plugged it in and I was like, oh crap, that's not the right one. That's just plugged into that's just plugged straight into, you know, my wall outlet with the USB adapter on it. And I thought maybe, oh, I'll blow it up. Mm-hmm. But it came right on, had no trouble at all. So I don't know if these are like specific and it's got some kind of power rating, but that would be a big bummer if it was.
Yeah, and I think they probably work like all the USB charger things, and I've got like 20 of those in the house for no reason, so it's not like I couldn't have lived, but it is a little weird. I'm not even saying this is Amazon's problem. This is a problem at the point of fulfillment for the newly manufactured devices. But it's pretty weird. I wonder if anybody out there wants to email us and tell us, boopshow@gmail.com. Did you not get an AC adapter? And does that make you worry about your purchase? Did you demand a refund or any kind of repercussions? USB cable was still in there for most of these people. Mm-hmm, just not the power brick, which is weird.
The power brick.
The boxes that say distributed by Active Bokeh KK.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
From Southeast Asia and the Middle East. That's where these came from. It says Amazon. Why Amazon distributing? Oh, I guess Amazon. What? So it's unclear how and why Amazon is distributing these Asian Middle East sets in the U.S. Why is that weird? Everything because comes from somewhere else. That's the way it is.
And it's kind of it can be confusing as an Amazon shopper to understand that, hey, yeah, it's fulfilled by Amazon, but Amazon didn't necessarily put it on the shelf. You know, they didn't have a buyer necessarily that went and bought it.
No. This is how this stuff works. This article doesn't seem to know that. I perhaps pulled the wrong article. I'm going to take full responsibility for that.
I think I put it in there because I was like, what? And I didn't read the article.
It's your damn fault. It's all Brian's fault. Send your letters to brian@yahoomail.com. Just kidding. I don't know. None of that works.
Equifax.com.
Equifax.com. You really went there. I like that. Nice. Emails. Got one here to read. It came to us at boopshow@gmail.com from Zach from the Nintendo Dads podcast.
Zach.
He says, hey, boopers. Thought I'd let you know that hacking your SNES Classic is super easy, and I can give you a couple of reasons to hack your SNES Classic. Okay, you ready for these?
Sell me.
Number one.
Earn it.
Number one, Chrono Trigger, Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3, Tetris and Dr. Mario, ActRaiser, Final Fantasy 2, but mostly Chrono Trigger. Okay, that's just number one.
I was going to say Chrono Trigger is probably about the only one that I'm just super hot about.
Never played Chrono Trigger, and I regret it. I want to play it, so that'd be good.
I actually have some Kicking It Old School on,
Oh, yeah?
Where we played it for that other show we did that one time.
I might have it on a Raspberry Pi right now.
You probably do.
Yeah, probably do. Second, you can add your own custom backgrounds. The SNES has a handful of backgrounds included, but you can add your own. And three, he says this is the most important, you can create a shortcut button combo to bring you back to the menu screen. Currently, you have to press the reset button and the console to get back to the thing to futz with your save files.
Yeah.
After hacking, I can now just press down L select and don't have to get off my sorry butt. Zach from the Nintendo Dads podcast.
Zach, that last one, number three, not having to get up to hit the stupid reset button. I am down with that. I mean, I like it. I like feeling like it's old school classic where you used to have to get up and change the cartridges and stuff, but I don't want to get up and hit the reset button.
No.
I'm with you.
That's a thing we need to do away with. Don't recreate. Nobody has nostalgia for having to get up and push a button.
No.
Okay? That's like saying, oh, I want to start getting a TV where I got to go up and manually change the channel every time. Come on.
And make like a clicker thing.
Yeah, nobody wants that. F that.
I kind of want that.
No, you don't. You don't want
it. I get like a little USB.
No, you think you want it. You don't want it. This is you thinking you want something that you don't.
And then I get me like some vice grips.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's one way to do it.
Put it in there to. You know what I'm talking about? Used to do that with the vice grips.
Yeah, no. I remember those. Sure. Dude, vice grips were great. My dad used to have all these vice grips, and me and my friends would see how tight we'd make it around our feet and stuff.
Oh, that's a good plan.
Is that weird? It's a little weird.
That is weird.
Anyway, thank you, Zach, for that email. It's good to know. I mean, again, you're breaking your warranty. There's some legal questions. Although, you know, technically, if you own these games he mentioned, you maybe have some ground to stand on. I don't know how the Digital Millennium Copyright Act affects you or not. I'm no expert, so don't expect expert advice from me. But if you're doing this raw without owning any of that stuff, you are in legal weird water, so keep that in mind.
Right.
However, all that being said, I think I may consider it when I get it.
Yeah, as far as the warranty, $70 for these things. I mean, come on.
Not that big a deal. Thanks for your email. Thank you guys all for your feedback and your comments. We really appreciate it here on the show. Boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. If you're wondering where's the website for this thing and where can I go and find all the other links to stuff that matters and get the show the various ways I want to get it, I mean, you can get us on Google Play, iTunes, freaking Stitcher, like all over the damn place. You head on over to frogpants.com/BOOP. That will send you in all the right directions. You can support this show by supporting the patreon.com/frogpants account. That's patreon.com/frogpants. Thanks to everybody who does, and consider it if you never have. I think that's everything. Brian's over at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Brian, anything else you'd like to say before we cut things out here, sir?
Yeah. They earn it.
I can't disagree with that. That's going to do it for us.
How they do it the old-fashioned way. They earn it.
For me and for Brian. We'll see you guys next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.